16 times 108 minimum, and other regulations which are described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada explained, and the different items like listening Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, or worshipping Tulasi, or worshipping the deities, accepting a spiritual master, worshipping the spiritual master, serving the spiritual master, etc. So many regulations, you know. Why those regulations are there? To control the mind, so that the mind becomes less and less stronger. The more we surrender, saranagati, the more we give ourselves to Krishna, accept those regulations and follow them, follow the instructions of the scriptures, follow the instructions of the spiritual masters, both initiating guru, diksha, and shiksha gurus, Vaishnavas, associating with the bhaktas, and by pleasing them, by pleasing the guru, then the path to Krishna is open, and of course no, avoiding the offenses. So by doing that, the sadhana bhakti, regulated practice, so we awaken the dormant love for love, is dormant which is in the heart, this bhakti awakens. And if we cannot practice that, the Lord, out of His mercy, He says, don't worry, just work for me, karma yoga, just work for me. Because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. You work and you give the results, the fruits of your action, wherever you can. Of course, it's recommended 50%, you know. And this is spiritual economics, you know. By giving, you get. That's the game, that's the rule. That normally by giving you lose, but no, because Krishna is involved, so Krishna is pleased, and then He is providing everything, because everything is actually coming from Krishna, from Lakshmi, you know, from everything is all fortune is controlled by the goddess of fortune. So by doing that, one gets detached from personal attachments. And gradually, he's able to come to the perfect stage of thinking about Krishna all the time. Still, if not able to do that, then the Lord advises in verse 11, just try to give up the results of your work and try to be self-situated. Just try to be self-situated, understanding that you are not the body, that you are the soul. And we read also yesterday this famous verse where a sober person is not bewildered by changes of body. He has a vision, he understands farther. And then the Lord describes, finally says, well, if you cannot take to this practice, then what do? Is you cultivate knowledge, jnana. You read the scriptures, and also that is actually purifying. That the Lord says in Bhagavad that whoever reads the Bhagavad Gita is actually worshipping me by his intelligence. You know, sacred scriptures are given by Krishna, so that is recommended. But still, if you cannot do that, what the Lord says is better than knowledge, however, is meditation. And better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation one can attain peace of mind. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the Lord is describing all these qualities who decorate the pure devotee, you know. Says, one who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities. Like, for example, many of our devotees here are very friendly. And one who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego. False ego is the identification with the body. I think, I act as if I am the body. I may have the knowledge, but the false ego is very deeply rooted within us for many, many, many lifetimes, who is equal in both happiness and distress. This equanimity, Sama, is described again in next verse 15, who is equipoise in happiness and distress. Also in 16th also, you may say that, is and 17 and 18 also, the same line. It is a person who is tolerant, who is always satisfied, self-control, and engaged in devotional service with determination. So that's the meaning of controlling the mind. A person is determined. It does not matter that's the practice of bhakti yoga. The regulations of sadhana bhakti give you that power, or to some extent, that you understand that actually the mind is at play there, but the whole purpose is just to neglect the mind, to transcend the mind, the material mind, and to understand that actually by practicing what is recommended, actually the practitioner realizes that all these changes, fluctuations of the mind, is not really relevant, so it's not following that. So yes, this is a very wonderful section. And I think I'll stop here. And I'd like to know if you have any comment or any question in regards to how it's been explained today, or any other issue related with this. Any comment or question or anything you'd like to ask? In order to practice that, it is required faith. Faith is the first item of devotional service. It's the initial item, and it goes all the way up to prema, because faith it is needed, and it is cultivated. As the more you practice, the more you gain faith, and by associating with sadhus, we also develop this faith. So faith, it is really important, actually, because that trust and that confidence that the Lord is there is the basis for everything else. You cannot engage with determination if you don't have faith. You cannot absorb a spiritual master if you don't have faith. You cannot really practice for a long time well, or endeavoring really, you know, to do your best of your ability and to attend and hear the scriptures. Of course, you can try, and by hearing the scriptures, actually, you also develop faith, you know, because it is very cleansing to the heart, and it's by paying attention, is also considered service. So, faith is actually the underlying principle. Because faith is giving you the vision by which you can see actually how the Lord is acting. So that's most important. And then all these descriptions that are given here, they naturally develop, as Prabhupada explains, they develop by themselves without extraneous endeavor that one may try to be. No, detached from fame or infamy. It just happens. It just happens like that, naturally. So that's why by focusing on chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, automatically the Lord gives the insight from within. The Lord is actually enlightening from within, as explained in verse 15 of the Bhagavad Gita, with the shining lamp of knowledge. It's a process of enlightenment from within. So the Lord acts as a spiritual master, Chaita Guru within the heart, and also as a spiritual master outside, or spiritual masters. So we know that the Lord is pleased if we are pleasing the Vaishnavas. which is not easy. And sometimes, I mean, so, but that is the way. That is the way. Any questions? Okay. So I have 7 minutes. And I don't know, maybe we can explain also one of the point that Lord Krishna is saying, always free from contaminated as association. This is Jana Sangha is explaining in the Upadesamrita, Nectar of Instruction by Srila Rupa Goswami. Here it says Jana Sangha Vivarjitaha, free from all association which is mundane, because whoever you associate with, is you get those qualities. You know, that's why devotees don't watch TV. You know, because hear the radio, mundane, because it's actually is surcharged with passion and ignorance. So it's recommended one associate with devotees. You know, especially with devotees who are fixed, who are really endeavoring, who elevated souls, persons who have practiced for so many years and are knowledge and can help us. So this is one of the items described here also. The devotee is silent and satisfied with anything. It's not talking unnecessarily without controlling his tongue, you know. It must be control of the tongue. A devotee is thoughtful. He's not a rascal, you know, Prabhupada saying. A rascal is a person who cannot stop speaking and disturbing others, you know. He's very peaceful and he's understanding others. He's understanding, you know. He's caring for others. One of the qualities of the devotees is that he's merciful and he is willing to help. He's always seeing how to do good for others, you know. And these are the qualities of a mother. Mother is understanding the son, understanding, taking care of him and everything that is very pleasing, you know. Mothers are pleasing. So these are the qualities that a devotee develops. Anukulya, anekatva. And these qualities also develop by taking care of serving the cows. So the Brahminical society, the Vedic culture, has two very important characteristics, which are protection of the brahmanas and the cows. The cows are the brahmanas of the future. The cows are the souls who are going to be in the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness means brahman. Mode of passions means satriya. Ignorance means vices and passion and ignorance means vice and ignorance is sudra. So the cows are very important, providing milk, providing care, and happiness is described in the scriptures that the cows give happiness, give the best fuel. You can clean antiseptic, the best antiseptic, you can cook, you know. So it's very, very important. And this society nowadays are killing the cows massively. So this is Kali Yuga, and it's very scary, the conditions that the cows are being treated, and everyone is eating beef, especially in India also. So we should protect the cows, and that is a key element, and protecting the brahmanas, persons who are have the knowledge so they can help others in society. Even the kings take advice of the brahmanas. So society cannot rule properly if we don't have powerful kings who are following the advice of enlightened people who are actually know the scriptures, who teach the scriptures. So this is the basics. So everyone should come to the standard of surrender to the Lord and practicing spiritual life. This is the whole Varnasram system is designed so that everyone become happy. Not like now people are committing suicide out of tremendous pain. So this is we claim this Hare Krishna movement is the panacea for all problems. It's the solution for all sufferings of any kind. So this we should actually try to contribute to the Sankirtan movement to a lesser or greater degree, because then we'll get great immense benefit, our families and our friends and everyone else in society. So this is opportunity that we have to contribute to the welfare of the world. Is the highest welfare activity. It is better than feeding people in Africa or in India, or it is better than building up hospitals or any other kind of anything that you can imagine. Because by giving knowledge of the soul and liberating people from the path of birth and death, of the miseries of material existence, then there is no greater gain. You may feed somebody or may teach somebody about mundane knowledge, but that is not really eternal. It is temporary relief, you know. But So what is described here is devotional service. This chapter talks about how to develop those qualities. What is the different processes given here? In 20 verses, the Lord is giving so much. He's giving the whole bhakti yoga ladder from the Vedic scriptures. They were practicing karma kanda, sacrifices to the gods, and jnana, cultivation of knowledge. And that was seeking Brahman, the knowledge of Brahman that you find in the Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, Shankara, for example, Shankaracharya, monism, and then the teachings given afterwards by Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, in order to elevate and give more and more sublime practices and knowledge. So this is bhakti, is the end of knowledge, bhakti vedanta. Srila Prabhupada says bhakti vedanta is the end of knowledge, is bhakti. Because why? Because unless there are two, you cannot love. One, you cannot love. Who are you going to love? If you have two, you can love someone else. Because love needs someone else in order to be selfless. Because otherwise it's selfish. But in order to be selfless, it's the nature of love. We need two people. So who best to love than Krishna? He's actually the only person who is able to reciprocate to you in a way that is fully satisfying, because Lord Krishna is also called the reservoir of all rasas. Rasa Akila Murti. So, because he's full of all mellows, of all ecstatic relationships, he can reciprocate with you and makes you extremely happy. To love Krishna is the wisest thing, actually, if you think about it. And that is the bhakti vedanta, that is the end of knowledge. Bhakti, devotion, veda, knowledge, anta, end. So this is what is recommended. And you have any question so far? No? You're listening very attentively, thank you. Now, Bhajans are going to come, are going to start. when I chant a Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with instruments, mridanga, harmonium, cartels, wampers probably. So this is actually, please stay with us, and it's an opportunity to purify us, very powerful. Normally we chant bhajans, kirtan also, and japa, three ways of chanting. And it is the most powerful way. It is very, very much recommended to do that. And so we can develop those qualities. We can come to that stage. This Sankirtan movement includes all yoga processes and all knowledge of all Vedic scriptures. And if we have material desires, still we should chant Hare Krishna. If we don't have material desires, we should still chant Hare Krishna. So this is what is going to happen now. Please stay with us here. And of course, if you have taste, you should come to Bhagavad Gita class, because this is actually Lord Krishna. It's Lord Krishna speaking. It's not someone else. So this is also recommended, to come to attend the Bhagavad Gita class, which is the ABC of a spiritual life. We also have Bhagavatam in the morning. So somebody who has really taste is really eager to come to Bhagavad Gita classes and to hear Bhagavad Gita, because it's the Lord song. It's the Gita spoken by the lotus lips of Krishna. So that is very nectarian, you know. And by doing that, you can actually come to the end of the bhajan, actually, by thinking about Krishna. Because we have it here, up there, that by thinking about Krishna, as is explained in this beginning of this section, just think about me. So we're going to do that. We're going to sing some beautiful bhajans. So thank you so much for listening. Hare Krishna.